All right, how many of you have had mountaintop experiences? Yeah. And the same goes for valleys. I think most of us had more valleys than mountaintops. Mountaintops are good. Jesus had a mountaintop. He also had a valley. The valley that he had was victorious. We too must face times of valleys, because it's in the valley that we can learn to come up to the mountaintop. You can't live on the mountaintop. It's impossible. You can visit. You can stay there for a while, but you got to come down to the valley. The valley is where the experience is, so you can come up to the mountaintop again. So you heard some mountaintop experience here today? Awesome. And that is good. That is good. And God wants you to experience mountaintop. In fact, when you experience mountaintop, I say this, a little bit of heaven. Because we can't, if God were to pour upon us all that he is, we blow up. We cannot contain it, at least not yet. But there will come a time when we will. Even though we have shed the old man, we have not yet been perfected to the perfection where God wants us to be. Now, you're seeing me and you're seeing a good-looking young man. Fit for a queen, and I have a queen. But when God looks at me, my, I cannot imagine his thoughts. I know he loves me dearly. He says so in his word, and I believe it. And so therefore I speak what I believe. I believe that I am a royal priesthood. I believe that I am the temple of God's Holy Spirit. I believe that I am his earthen vessel that contains his word. But I cannot abide there. Like I said, one day we all will. So, mountaintops versus valleys. I'm going to read to you some of the stuff I dug up. Soaking in the memory of what God reveals to us on the mountain will remind us of our purpose in the valley. Valley has purpose. What happens to us when we come to the valley instead of looking at it positive? And it's hard. It's hard. And unless you walk in the man's shoes, you don't know. You can imagine, you know, but if you have never gone through an experience like the parents of Christina are going through, I've gone through, you really don't know until something drastic happens to you. And everybody's experience is totally different. How we act, react. Is totally different. When my mother passed away, I walked around for 2 years with a lump in my throat. I couldn't think about her. The moment I thought about her, I start crying like a baby, like somebody beat me. Until God got a hold of me in one of those moments of, I don't know whether I was coming or going, and he said, I have the last word. Now, I was already into the ministry, but when I heard those words within me, a peace just came upon me. I mean, total peace came upon me. My tears dried up. Now, I'm the only boy in the family. I got five sisters, but they never try to dress me like a little boy, like a little girl, rather. They left me alone, thank God. Thank God. You know, because they do that. Sisters do that. I was blessed. I was blessed and highly flavored. Moses had a mountaintop experience. Hold on to that. And he had to come to the valley to see what was going on. Mark 9:5 says this. Peter said to Jesus, Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters. One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. There's a mountaintop experience. Bishop told you about his mountaintop experience just a few seconds ago. The night before, him and his wife, girlfriend. Hey. Yeah, same person, y'all. Yeah, I've told him you got to learn how to keep a log in the fire. He does. And right away, wow, man, this is awesome. We've never seen this before. This is gooder than good. English teachers, please don't throw tomatoes or nothing at me. It was good. He had a mountaintop experience, and they saw what took place. And then Jesus says, come on, we can't stay here. It's not the time. Let's go down to the rest of the people. And they had to come down to the valley. They never forgot that moment. It's an awesome moment. It's an awesome moment when God can speak to you and something happens. Either then, the door knock, or a day after, or 2 or 3 days after. Or maybe a year after. But nonetheless, you had already spoken about it. It was in your mind already. God put a thought in there. Now, he's never late. But we get too anxious. And we have to learn how to slow down, be still, and know that I am God. So, while mountaintop experiences are awesome, and that's what we love to have, and one day we will have that mountaintop experience eternally, but not yet. In the meantime, we have to abide in the valley and learn. Listen, speak, and learn. Listen to learn, and learn to listen. Listen, if I put you to sleep with my melodious voice, the one next to you, wake them up, okay? All right, what's next, my man? Mateo 17:15. For those of y'all who don't speak Italian, that was Spanish. Matthew 17:15. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up to a high mountain by themselves. There he was, transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and almost the same thing. That's an awesome moment. It's an awesome moment. Pastor Donna's still walking on cloud nine, as the saying goes. And she will be for the next week or so. The reality is you can't stay there. Because see, if you try to stay on the mountaintop as good as it is, you're not going to learn what you need to learn in the valley. Samson, he was a bad mama jamma, but not in the flesh. Only when the Spirit of God came upon him was he a bad dude. Leroy Brown couldn't stand next to him. And he had a mountaintop experience. And it cost him. A sweet thing that was next to him was his demise. And so he had a valley experience. He learned a lot at the valley. And at the end, he was quite successful. But he had to come to the valley. We all have to come to the valley. In the valley, stress brings forth ill health. But a state of inner peace is conducive to good health. Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here, if you wish. Matthew 17:1-5 again. I will put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered him, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. Not only did they see him being transformed, now they're hearing the voice of the Almighty God. You have heard testimony of a conversation 2 days ago, 3 days ago, day ago, and the manifestation of that conversation. God used different people to bring that about. And I'm sure that the one who brought the gift, thinking that it wasn't worthy of giving such a gift, is on cloud nine, knowing that, my God, I did hear from God. It was the right thing that I did. And here all the time I thought it was stupid. How can you give somebody socks? Well, they got no children, right? Thank God they didn't give boxers. God is an awesome God, I'm telling you. God is an awesome God. The Valley of Vision denotes the fantasies and reasoning whereby worship is falsified and at last profane. The valley denotes unclean worship. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up to a high mountain where they were all alone. We have already gone through that. Go to the next one. First King. When the Israelites were all mustered and given permission, they marched out to meet them. The Israelites camped opposite them like two small flocks of goats while the Armenians covered the countryside. What is all this about? Speaking about the children of Israel and another king who wanted to slaughter them. And they mocked the children of Israel. They also mocked God, saying, God is not the God of the valley. The word of God says, where can you go away from me or hide that my hand cannot reach. If you ascend to the highest height, I am there. And if you go into the depth of darkness, I am also there. So where can we think we can hide from God? Where can we think that God's hand cannot reach and deliver us? He's all-knowing, ever-present, all-seeing. In fact, he uses darkness as light to him. On your own, remember, on your own, you cannot do anything. As hard as you try. And that which we do, did you hear that? I'm in the boat too, y'all. God considers it as filthy rags, worthless. Because if God is not in your life, it's easy on the mountaintop to say, thank you, God. It's easy to sing songs of praise and of worship on the mountaintop. Let me see what you do down in the valley. When all hell breaks loose. When your little girl comes home, 14 years old, and says, Daddy, I think I'm a little pregnant. When your husband comes home from work and says, I'm sorry. I cannot live this life anymore. What do you mean? I met someone. Who, the secretary? No. You know Bob? The guy that works with me? Or John? Or Larry? Or Joe? Whoever you want to put in there. Things have changed. Things have changed. I'm 73. I'm seeing stuff now that I never thought I could ever see. And I've walked the streets of Miami when Miami was young. Now, the shooting and the killing hasn't stopped. That's always been here. In fact, in the 60s, Key Biscayne, you found two things, a bale of marijuana and a floating body next to it. Mafia was big down here. They still are, but now they wear a three-piece suit. A mountaintop mentality is awesome, but it's not for us, sorry to say. It's good to wish and hope. And we have those experiences, like you have heard, but it's in the valley that we learn. It's when you go to the gym and you break the muscles you have to gain bigger muscles, more strength. Not laying on the couch knowing that the car's full of gas, got good wheels, it's an all brand new car. You know, the TV, I got a 75-inch TV, and you're sitting there with the chips on the side and the remote, and honey is walking up and down, you know, looking at you. Wow, what a hunk. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's all good, well and good. It's when the kids are screaming, and mom is running around like a chicken with her head cut off. I got to do this, I got to do that. And you say, sorry, hon, I got to go to work. And you leave her where all that messed up. And somehow, some way, she finds a way to make do until the next day. We all would love right now here in this present time to live in a mountaintop experience forevermore. The Tower of Babel is a good example. They thought they had it together. Even God said, wow, these people are one. Whatever they put their mind to, they're going to do it. I got to go down there and mess them up. Why? Because they forgot about God. God is the one who gives us the smarts. He's the one that gives us the strength, the ability, the know-how, the wisdom to accomplish what little we have accomplished. I got born again in the Spirit in 79. My first Bible was a King James Bible. That's a tough one for a newborn. But I didn't know that there were others' translations. So I got me a King James. Hey. And I read it. You know why I read it? I need something that would hold me. So when I heard of Rahab, the prostitute, whoo, I got to know her. Mary Magdalene, I got to know her. David and his wars, I got to know this dude. And there were other things in there that are not pleasing to speak about today. But I want to know about all that stuff. And the Bible, all that stuff is in there? Yeah, all that stuff's in there. Ain't nothing new. There's nothing new under the sun. In fact, this message that I am bringing about, it's not new. It's just being brought about differently. My style. The way God loves me. And so I present it to you. It's got a little humor. It's got a whole bunch of truth. Remember, next week we're having a test. Let me see what else I got over here for you. Before I go into all the scriptures. Oh man, that scripture is awesome. Trouble and distress have come upon me, but your commands give me delight. Your statutes are always righteous. Give me understanding that I may live. Who wrote that? Most of the Psalms were written by David, the king. Trouble and distress have come upon me, but your commands give me delight. I don't know if you remember the time that he took it upon himself when he was on that mountaintop, and he wanted to count God's people. So he brings the prophet. Look out when the prophet comes to town. Sometimes he brings good stuff. Sometimes he brings distressful stuff. It's all true, though. And the prophet says, yo, dude, what's up, man? What are you doing? Well, I thought, that's what you get for thinking. Leave it alone. Now, what do you want? You want the sword of men? Or you want the hand of God to come upon you? David was smart. He says, let the hand of God come upon me, because even in his wrath, he is merciful. And a whole bunch of people died because of David. He was on the mountaintop. He had to be brought down to the valley. We need to be careful to try to do things like Frankie used to sing. I did it my way. Do it God's way. You cannot go wrong doing it God's way. We would love for this house to be overflowing so we can have that other room overflowing. When Peter came off that room that day and started preaching Jesus Christ that you crucified, the Word of God says, and God, and God, and God added to the church. Over 3,000 people came just by ministering the Word. Now, also Scripture says that depending on your how God has blessed you or whatnot, you will receive. Some are shepherds of 50. Some are shepherds of 100. Some are shepherds of 1,000. It's God. God doing it. God doing it. You all know I do a Spanish service. There were times when we had 15, 20 plus people. There are times when all I have is one. I don't stop teaching or preaching or ministering. I speak to the wall. I believe in my calling. I am here for a reason. I answered the call. You all know I come from Hialeah. That's further than Fort Lauderdale, about another half hour, 45 minutes. That's a long drive. I enjoy it. I got my girlfriend with me. My wife, y'all.
Same person.
I've had her for 52 years, marriage, and two girlfriend and boyfriend. And I make sure I keep a log in the fire. Mountains are mentioned in the Old Testament 500 times, so it must be important. In fact, if you ever go to Israel, if you've seen Israel in news or pictures or whatever, it's surrounded by mountains. I think when I went there and I saw the landscape, I think the Pet Rock, y'all remember that, came from there. I mean, it is rocky and not, you know, the boxer, the landscape. But it's beautiful. It's beautiful. Now, there are quite a few mountains out there that have purpose and whatnot. Mount Ararat. What is that? Huh? Yeah. Yeah. That's one mountain they speak about. Here's another one. Mount Sinai, that's where Moses received the Ten Commandments. Mount of Olives, what happened there? For you and for me, Mount of Olives. Father, if there is another way. No, there is no other way. You got to drink the cup of Bob Salva, that miserable, no good. Yeah, you got to drink his cup. You got to drink Manny's. You got to drink Alexis. You got to drink, yay, God, lady. You got to drink Bruce's. You got to drink everybody's cup. There's no other way. Thy will. Aren't you glad? Listen, when I sit and meditate upon just little words like that, I cry, I laugh, I dance, I sing, I shout. When you realize what he did for you, and I do a lot of mountaintops in my what I call my library. It's just a catch-all room, but that's where my Bibles are. That's where the computer is. And that's where I do. I separate myself to do studies. And I have a good time there. But I also got to realize that, you know what? I've been here for an hour and a half, and my wife's out there all alone. I think she wants me time. And so I ask God for forgiveness. I excuse myself, and I go be with my wife. Because I think that's what he wants more so until then. Now, he is epoch in my life. He is numero uno. No one stands before him. Everybody else is under him. Even my Cherokee princess, who just turned 11 years old. And my three awesome grandsons. And my daughter. And my son. And, of course, my wife. But God is numero uno in my life. In fact, listen. When God put the calling in my life, I sat them all down. They were young. I think she was 12 and he was about 9. Yeah, they were young. I sat them down and I said this. God has put a call in my life. Please do not stand in my way. Because had she said, but, I would have said, exit, stage left. Adios, baby. But then again, that's me. That's me. I'm not saying that ought to be you. God needs to speak to you. You make sure you hear and listen well. If not, you will miss the eternal mountaintop that God has for you. Are we out of time, Bishop? Don't fall asleep on me. Then again, hey, listen, I'm in charge of the next service, so we can go for another half hour. If y'all got pot roast going, should have turned your clock a little, the hour, an extra hour, you know. Nah. That is good. That is good. Let me see what I find. There's another scripture I want to share with you. There's another scripture. Jeremiah. For you all Italian. Jeremiah. I had planted you like a choice vine of sound and reliable stock. How then did you turn against me into a corrupt wild vine? Although you wash yourself with soap and used an abundance of cleansing powder, the stains of your guilt is still before me, declares the sovereign Lord. How can you say I am, what's that? Not defiled. I have not run after the Baals. See how you behave in the valley. Consider what you have done. You are a swift she camel running here and there. I have different translations in my library. This is God talking to Israel. And accusing them of not seeking after him. And that last part there, you are a swift she camel running here and there. That she camel running here and there, it's time for mating. And she is anxious to find a he camel. That's what God says to his chosen people. This is how you act towards me. After all that I have done for you, this is how you act. You need to take cold showers. Are we behaving like this today towards God? After all that he has shown you, he cured a bishop of cancer, Pastor Donna. Blessed them with a pair of socks. Well, 10 pairs of socks, excuse me. Yeah, got to get it right. 10 pairs of socks. Yeah, rhino, yeah. Yeah, low cut. And what else has he done? Mr. Manny. So we have witnesses before you all. I stand before you as a witness. I used to walk on the dark side before I came here. Someday I'll share with you. And we have others likewise. Someday we'll share with you. That's a touchy subject there. Scary, but it's real. It's real. I have eaten the meat of idols that I have sacrificed to. I ain't saying no more. But see, but I didn't know any better. I was ignorant. Thank God for his grace and mercy, because his wrath is what I deserved. And so knowing that, how can I, the Word of God says, having tasted of the fruit of the Spirit, how can you go back and try to finish your work in the flesh? It's impossible. The flesh and the Spirit are at enmity one with another. Grab a hold of God. Don't let go. It's not that I don't care. I hate using that word. But it don't matter. If hell confronts you, you look at it and you tell them, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You don't have to scream. You just take a stand in truth and you speak. Because that's what Jesus did. Turn the stones into bread. It is written. If you bow before me, I'll give you all this. It is written. You know what it's written. Use it. It's yours. It's been given to you. Not only that, authority has been given unto each and every one of us to use his word to combat the enemy who is relentless. Even while we are here, he is throwing darts at some of us. See, in order for this ministry to go in the way of Korah, you all know who Korah was, right? Mm-hmm. If not, we'll teach you some other time. He's going to have to take him out and her. If he can take him and her out of the picture, he's got this ministry. But he won't. And he can't. Because God has sent help unto him. God has sent flock unto him that need to be shepherded. And there's still some more coming. They're not here yet, but they're coming. He's bringing them. And it's up to each and every one of us to make sure that when they come, to greet them lovingly, just the same way God received each and every one of us with open arms, lots of grace, lots of love.